Little bit about Kevin, which I'm sure all of you are anticipating. I pray you are. And I also pray you're not in a hurry. But we should all be anticipating our future in heaven. Because heaven will be our heavenly home. And that's where we'll live forever. So in John 14:2, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, none of us have seen heaven, even though I will say you can get on the internet and see thousands of videos about people that have supposedly been to heaven. One lady over 1,800 times now. Personally, I think that's hogwash. But for those that don't know, there's thousands and thousands of people out there proclaiming to be preachers and prophets and that have been claimed they've been to heaven time after time after time, talking with Jesus and doing things and being sent back with special messages. One lady said there's a cotton candy land in heaven for kids. We need to be more mature Christians than buy into that nonsense. And I pray you all are. Heaven is not a joke. It's certainly not a place to make light of and to use to make money off of. The gospel is not a money-making machine. It's the word, the living word of God. And when he said he goes to prepare a place for us, we can believe that. And we can hold that in our hearts, knowing it to be true. I have no idea what heaven's going to be like. The little tidbits in the Bible tell us that, you know, John said in Revelation that heaven possesses the glory of God, the very presence of God. To me, that would be enough. But there's also going to be gates, pearly gates on the pearls on the gates of the New Jerusalem and all those streets of gold and all those kind of things. But I don't really think, in my mind anyway, that gold's going to have the same meaning for us that it does here. I don't think we're going to get up there and see the golden streets of heaven and think we're going to chip off a hunk and go get money for it or anything. I think gold is just beautiful, and that's what it'll be used for, is the beauty that God has provided for us, not the financial wealth portion that we think of all the time when we think of gold. I don't have any gold, so probably like to have some just for the heck of it. But it doesn't mean a whole lot to me. Someday maybe it'll be the only thing you can spend the way it's looking, but right now, I'm fine like it is. But just knowing that we're going to one day pass from this earth and go to that beautiful place called heaven and be able to live within the presence of God himself. We know the Holy Spirit's in each one of us that have accepted Christ as our Savior, but it's not the same as being in the holy place where God himself is, and that the Son Jesus radiates. There won't be a need for the sun and the moon, because Christ will be the light that lightens heaven. And that's told us in the scriptures, and that's kind of unfathomable to some people. It is to me in a way, but knowing that God is almighty, I just put it in faith that he can do whatever he says he's going to do. And if he says that's what it's going to be, then that's what it's going to be, and I'll go to my grave believing it and trusting in it. And that's what we have to do. Heaven, they say, will be filled with brilliance of costly stones and crystal clear jasper. And like I said, the 12 gates and the 12 foundations will all be there, and the paradise of the Garden of Eden supposedly be back again. I don't guess it's gone anywhere, but we can't see it. The river of waters of life will be visible. All the things that we've read about and known about, God will bring to fruition for us, that we'll be able to enjoy those things. And it'll be a time of rejoicing and happiness. heaven, in so many words, is a place of no mores. There's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more agony, no more struggling from hunger, struggling to pay the bills. None of that's going to be in heaven. That's just on its face value is amazing, because we've all been in many places, not times. I'm sure there's some of you here that's had tough times in life. I mean, just tough times where you wasn't sure where the next meal or how you going to pay the electric bill. And I don't know. The old excuse of robbing Peter to pay Paul. But it doesn't get all the bills paid. And we've struggled with that. And that put a lot of wrinkles on a lot of our faces trying to decide, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get through this? And we had to rely on God. Once we found God, before that we tried to rely on ourselves, didn't we? And the struggles and the strife of just everyday life, trying to get by, trying to get the car fixed, trying to keep my job so I don't get fired, all those kind of things, you won't have any of that in heaven no more. No more sorrow, no more tears, happiness and joy. Excuse me. I'm sure there will be a lot of laughter. You can't have happiness and joy without laughter. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of happiness in heaven. And that's a wonderful place to look forward to. I've heard many times, and I might have even done it myself, I don't know, but you've heard the old expression, oh, this was like a little piece of heaven on earth. It's a great saying, nothing wrong with it. It meant that something was really fun, joyful, meant a lot to you. But it cannot compare, friends, to what heaven's going to be. It just can't compare. John said the description of heaven, the reality of heaven is beyond the ability of finite man to even describe. And I can honestly believe that. I just cannot find words enough to put into words just how glorious and magnificent it's going to be. God's promised us a lot, but I've never known of God not to keep his promise of you. So if he promised you a future in heaven, then you can rejoice and know that that's exactly what you're going to have to look forward to. You won't have to get up in the morning and struggle to get the blue jeans on and to get the nylons on and the pain and the agony of bending your knees to try to get things to work again and hobbling to the kitchen to make coffee and all those kind of things that we put up with every day of our lives. All of us do, and some of us, it's a routine that we've become accustomed to. And when we think about it, that's not a nice thing to get accustomed to, is it? But heaven eliminates all of those things. It takes all of that away from us. All of the heartbreak, all of the sadness that we've experienced in our lives, which for a lot of us has been a lot. When you come from a large family like I do and others, you see a lot of sorrow and sadness. And you experience a lot of death. As we get older, we start thinking, boy, it seemed like every time I turn around, somebody I know is dying. Well, we're all getting old. And as people get older, people start passing on. And we have all these sorrows that seem like every week we can hear about somebody passing away that we knew that makes you sad. And sadness isn't a bad thing in its own. A lot of good can come out of some sadness. But knowing there will be no more sadness at all, it's a wonderful thing. No more struggling. I don't know if I mentioned one time when I was an older teenager. I should have said a stupid older teenager. I didn't know what I was doing in life. And I hitchhiked to Memphis, Tennessee with $20 in my pocket. And by the time I got there, I had $4.16. And I'll never forget it, ever. I had no idea what I was going to do. And the first night I slept on the doorway of a tavern that was closed up. you do crazy, stupid stuff in this world trying to find yourself. And I never really found myself until I found the Lord. He found me. And we won't have to experience any of them struggles anymore. We won't have to worry about, like Dave and your eyesight. He won't have to worry about his eyesight. It's going to be the best eyesight he's ever had, ever. And for people with lung problems, you won't have any lung problems. And with people with bad knees like me, I think, you know, the Lord's going to have me jumping up and down saying, looky there, looky there. Because we don't have to experience all the pains and agonies and tortures that we have in this life today. And I wish there was a way for me to portray heaven in a better, more magnificent way. But I just don't know how to put it in words. I've seen pictures that people have painted of heaven and their bright, beautiful colors and flowers and the river running through the middle, and it's beautiful. But I don't think it's going to compare, because like the Bible tells us, man's finite mind can't even imagine. So I don't think the painter could imagine enough about what heaven was truly like to make the appropriate drawing and painting of it. So just thinking about it from that perspective gives me a real sense of anticipation, knowing that when I do die, everything is just going to be cool for a younger term. Going to be wondrous and marvelous. That's that you hear on TV. Now that's what I'm talking about. Crazy sayings we come up with. But it's true. That's what we want. We want to know what's in store for us. Death is a sometimes very fearful thing. Because it's really, when you get down right down to it, it's just the fear of the unknown. You've never experienced it before. You don't get to experience death two or three times and then die the last time and say, I've been through this before. It's not that big a deal. We've never experienced death. So it's that fear of the unknown that can grip us and give us a sense of fear, which is normal. It's natural for us as man to have those kind of fears. But if you know who God is, you know who Jesus is, accepted him as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit's in you, you don't have to have that fear. The unknown means nothing. Because what does the Bible tell you in the Old Testament? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Death today is the same. It's that fear, but we don't have to have a fear. Christ is figuratively holding your hand the whole journey. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be afraid. You can die with a smile on your face. My grandma died with a smile on her face. I know I mentioned something, I think it was last week, about after a couple days, she said the Lord was going to take her away, and he did. And she was happy. I can remember my dad said, you know, that his two sisters, or two of her daughters, were crying, upset, don't want you to go. And she said, you have no idea where I'm going. It's going to be great. You know, my dad had a hard time struggling with that, because he wasn't saved at the time, and he struggled with that. He couldn't figure out how to be so happy. But if you know where you're going, and you can come to terms with it, it's a joyful experience. A gospel group wrote a song about his mom dying. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but they wrote a song and they called it Party Time. And the first time I saw it on a Bill Gaither video, and I thought, when Bill was describing it, I thought, huh? What's this going to be about, you know? Jeff and Sherry Easter is who wrote the song. And they said, it's party time. He said, when his mom died, his mom had told him, don't you dare shed a tear. The day I die, it's party time. I'm going home to Jesus, where everything is going to be beautiful. And he wrote a song. It was a good song. And that, when you think about it, it made a lot of sense. Death for a Christian is a joyous occasion. it's us that are left behind that have the sadness. But the one passing on, it's all joy and that beautiful heaven's waiting right down the road for them, and they can't wait to get there, you know? And I don't blame them. It's just going to be beautiful. And when we compare heaven to what we have today, with all the troubles in the world and the wars, and now there's been an escalation of the conflict over in Israel again last night, rumors of wars are unbelievable at this particular time in our lives. There's just so much going on, and we're fortunate people to live out here in what I call the country. We don't live in the big cities where it's dog eat dog. Nobody seems to like anybody. Everybody seems to hate everybody. You can't walk down the street without having fear of somebody shooting you, attacking you, robbing you, beating you up for no reason. They went through this spat there a while back where they was just running up and hitting people in the head, knocking them out for nothing, just because. What kind of a world are we living in? And what I can tell you is we're living in a world that's becoming, in my mind, more and more controlled by Satan. We see it all around us. But knowing we got heaven waiting for us, we just don't have to worry about it. We just don't have to worry about what it's going to be like, and what my life is going to be like then. It's going to be joyous, and all I can say about that is hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just a great feeling knowing such a beautiful place is awaiting us without any trials and struggles. So I would ask you today, are you looking forward to heaven? And I hope everybody in their heart and mind can say yes. If not, you need to. We'll pray for you, and we'll help you. We'll answer any questions anybody's got about it. If you have any doubts whatsoever, that's what everybody is here for. It's what I'm here for today, and others. Ask them, hey, you know, help me with this. I'm struggling a little bit with what's going on. And do you have that anticipation like I mentioned earlier? You should have that. Not being in an earthly sense hurry. You don't want to run out and jump in front of a train tomorrow so you can get to heaven. But you still should have that desire and that anticipation in your heart, knowing where you're going when the good Lord says it's time, then it's time. But knowing that when he does, it's going to be wonderful. And the last question I want you to ask yourself, am I really going to heaven? Are you secure in your each one of your minds that without a doubt, if you get up in a few minutes and start to walk out the door and fall over dead, you're going to end up in heaven? You have to know in your heart and mind that you're that secure in your faith in the Lord. Excuse me. The last 2 weeks I talked about Jeremiah with all his troubles, but trusting in the Lord. Then I talked about Job and how he abided in the Lord through all of his struggles, which we learned were many. And then today, I'm talking about what their reward was. It all ties together, that the struggles, the strife, the agonies. If you abide in Christ and abide in God and walk with them, heaven is your reward. I'm thoroughly convinced Job and Jeremiah are in heaven. I don't have a doubt in my mind. I've asked my wife to wear different cologne. She won't do it. No. She's going to get me. But it's important, in all seriousness, that you know in your mind that you're secure in knowing that you're going to heaven. I remember my uncle one time, because I was a marketing director for a medical laboratory, and he said, met him and another preacher, and my uncle, I knew the other preacher, and my uncle said, oh yeah, it's my nephew Bob, he sells medical business, he thinks he's too good to sell Jesus. And I don't believe. That was before I was saved. And I was kind of offended, but later on I realized that what he said pretty much hit home, didn't it? Made his point. And I'm glad he said it, honestly. At the time I was a little embarrassed and a little upset with him, but got over it in a hurry and realized sometimes that old thing about tough love means a lot. And that's why I say today, I don't mean to be offensive to anyone at all. But if you're not completely secure in your mind that you're going to heaven when you die, I will tell you this without trying to hurt your feelings, but you got a problem and you need to fix it. I don't like to be a harsh preaching kind of guy, but sometimes you got to tell people, hey, here's what the book says. And please don't kill the messenger. I'm just reading what the good Lord told me to say. And that's that he loves you. And if you love him and accept him and follow him, he's got the greatest grand prize door number one you've ever seen in your life waiting for you. Let's make a deal that doesn't compare to what the good Lord's got coming. So I just won't belabor the fact or the point that heaven is a wonderful place and a beautiful place and a glorious place and a place that anybody in their right mind would want to go to. Can't imagine anybody say, oh, I don't want that. I don't want to be happy all the time. I don't want to be healthy all the time. I don't want to be joyful all the time. I don't want everybody to love me. I don't want to love everybody. I can't even imagine turning that down. So I want to just emphasize that and tell you that I love each one of you. Don't know you very well, but in Christ I love each one of you. You've all just been great people. And I pray that you will pray for me and I will pray for you. That we live without any doubts and fears. That we feel secure in our salvation, because it's just vital. There's nothing more important in your whole life than salvation. Let us pray, if you would, please. Father God, I know I hurried through this, Lord, but I felt like I said what you want me to say, and I thank you for that, Lord, that you put it on my heart to share your wonderful, wonderful place with the people here today, Lord. And hopefully, Lord, I portrayed at least a little picture of what you have in store for them. I know it's much more. But I so appreciate you allowing me to just share with them a little piece of what you have waiting for them, Lord, when the time comes. And Father, you just are such a wonderful, gracious, gracious God. And I thank you, Lord, that each one that showed up today, I'm so happy, Lord, that Dave is getting some of his vision back and that he's being able to get out. That just tickles me to death, Lord. I'm sure nowhere near how Dave feels about it, Father, but it tickles me to death, and I'm sure his mom and sisters and wife and everybody else is just so, so, so happy. And we just ask that you would continue, Lord, to heal his eyesight, to get things under control to where he's back to where he can do things that he wants and needs to do. I'd ask, Father, you would be with everybody here. Look at their lives, Lord. Look at their loved ones. Those that are sick, have loved ones that are sick and hurting or experienced a loss, like the lady that passed away, Miss Guy. I pray that you would touch all their lives, Lord, and give them peace and understanding and comfort. I know it's hard when you lose a loved one, but God, I also know that you can carry us through, and it's no problem at all. You do it with such ease that it's amazing to me how you've gotten people through so much. And Father, I just love you so much and thank each one here, Lord, for the opportunity to come here and share the word with them. And Lord, I'd ask you that you would bless this little church, Lord, and have it to prosper, but have it to stay steadfast in your word and only your word, Lord. And that you would have newcomers come and have a joyous occasion, knowing that they're worshiping you, Lord, as you'd want them to. And I ask you to bless this church and the people in it. Father, I ask all of this in Jesus' precious name and give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord God, forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Pastor, I forgot to mention that Donnie Switzer's having surgery on Wednesday.
Oh, you're right. Hopefully, I forgot that too, and I apologize to Linda for that.
Hopefully the last thing.
Well, we certainly pray it's going to be a successful thing and that he will return back to, I don't know if Linda wants him back to normal or not, but back. I don't know what normal always is.
It'd be nice
but we
drive.
That's right. We pray that he becomes healthy through all of this and gets his strength back and his health back and get back to doing things that he needs and wants to do. But most of all, just to be healthy. Health is the most important thing. Donnie may have to cut back on what he used to do a little bit. And you know what? I think he can live with that. But to have health is everything. So we certainly will keep Donnie in our prayers. And we'll keep Linda in our prayers because it's not easy going through all of this. She struggles with it, and she's got a big burden on her plate. And sometimes the old plate gets heavy. So we'll keep her in our prayers also. And Dave's wife, I know she went through a lot helping Dave. We just want to keep all of these people in our prayers because they need prayer. They may not know it, but they need us because we are the ones praying for them. If you don't have anybody praying for you, that's kind of a sad thought, isn't it? We want people to pray for us. We welcome people to pray for us. Don't be bashful. Got a problem? Jump out in the middle of the street and stop a car and say, "I need prayer, brother." Now, they may admit you, but that's okay. You'll convince them like that. But prayer is important, and we all need that. And we need somebody to do it for us. We can pray all we want. But when you got somebody else praying for you, it's a blessing. Such a blessing to have other people pray for you. So we really love that. Let's sing hymn number 99, I guess it is.
Let's sing hymn number 98.
It's 98.
Yeah, 98.
It's 98.